that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
It's gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
You know, that old wheel has rolled around again. And it's Saturday morning, November 3rd, 2012. And we say good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And John, just as we fired up the music, we had a phone call, and it's Pastor Ron Poach from Georgia, and we've got Pastor Poach on the line. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, everyone.
And Pastor Poach called in, said he's traveling this morning, and thought he would start the day off with some prayer with some of the men here at the radio ranch. So how you like that, John?
Yeah, that's great.
Hadn't heard from Pastor Poach in a while, but hope you're doing well, sir.
Why, thank you so much. I really am. I have great hope, because the scripture says in Zechariah 9:12, turn to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Man, I've been in prison with hope for a long time that God's going to turn our nation around, turn families around, and individuals, the church. And I know it's going to take place. I keep in touch with, of course, your ministry through Brother Chris from Carolina, and also, of course, I get the magazine. I'm so thankful that you're continuing on with the printed page, and I I read the articles. I'm stirred, and as a matter of fact, on page 6. And this will be just a little humorous correction. Down at the bottom of this last edition, it says, answer the call, and make time to listen, participate by the grace of our Lord and Savior. We'll have all the big boys shaking their heads, wondering what's happening. Just one slight correction, fellas. You are the big boys. They're the little boys. So, any, anybody that's praying, that's joining in together, I think you're talking about the big boys in the media, but they're really the little boys. When I look back in Scripture and I see what God did with Goliath, that day out there in the valley with all the Israelites shaking in their boots, there was a shepherd boy that was anointed by the Spirit of the living God. He had hope burning within his bosom, within his breast, and the roar of that Antichrist that was down the valley says, "I send out a man," and God did. It was a man-child. It was a young stripling from the flock. God doesn't need the intellectuals. He doesn't need those that are mighty in word and deed. He'll strip us down till we have no resources. We'll be a prisoner of hope and just stand against the forces of darkness. So let me share something with you. That morning in the valley when Goliath was roaring, the real giant was not Goliath, it was David. He's big in God, hallelujah. He had something stirring within him. And those of you men that are ranch wranglers that are really seeking God and facing, it, you know, an implacable enemy, our God is mighty to save. We're coming out of a pit, we're coming out of darkness, we're coming into the glorious light. As a matter of fact, that 60th chapter of Isaiah the prophet ministering to the house of Israel and the house of Judah, he said, "Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." And when does that glory come upon you? It's in the time of spiritual declension. It's in the time of darkness. It says, "Darkness shall cover the earth." I've never seen such darkness, such ignorance, pulled together by men. And it says, "Gross darkness, the people." It says, "Don't worry, my glory is going to be, it's going to come upon you." So as you continue to declare the word of the Lord, and that's one of the things I like about the magazine that you send out and the ministry and the preaching, is that you fill it with the word of God. As a matter of fact, that's the name of your ministry, Scriptures for America. As a matter of fact, Scriptures for the whole wide world. I mean, those lost sheep are going to be found. I'm a prisoner of hope, I believe. You know, right now, there may not be a whole lot of folks that are swarming down upon us, but believe me, when the fire falls like Elijah, you keep the fire burning, build the altar in the name of the Lord, build it according to the word of God, and there's going to be a repentance. You won't have to worry and wring our hands and say, "Oh my, what's happening?" Oh, I'll tell you what's happening. You're men of prayer. You're men of faith. You're men of vision. You got a hold of the word of God, and God birthed something deep within your spirit, man. And the Lord says, you know, even today he's going to render double against those that have persecuted the living church. So I want to encourage you. You fellows, keep on. You may think, well, you know, where are these folks that have not bowed their knee to Baal? They're out there.
Amen.
And when I begin to see, you know, not just the fragmented family of Jacob, and the lost sheep of the house of Israel, seemingly hopeless, God's got something that he's working in the background. And we're praying today, not just for the family, but for our nation. You know, when Ezekiel was told in that 37th chapter, "Can these bones live again?" He didn't say yes, he didn't say no, but he did say, "Lord, thou knowest." And we've got the blueprint. The blueprint is there. It's the bones. And God said, "This is my great army." And you look and say, "My God, it's just a pile of bones." And they're saying, "Our hope is lost. Our bones are dried. We're cut off. Israel seems to be languishing. And they're in misery. They're in distress, anxiety, whatever." And they're grieved. But the Bible says through Peter in the New Testament, we have been begotten to a living hope. And we've got to breathe upon these bones, and that's what prayer is all about. It's reviving the breath of God. And it seems as if only a few cells of the lungs are breathing, and it seems like America has been reduced down to practically a corpse. But they don't reckon on resurrection life. You men have resurrection life. I pray the Spirit of God to come upon you in a new way. Faith be birthed within you. You're doing a great job. Hallelujah. We are not leaderless. I appreciate all that Pastor Peters has done for me and his blessing in my life. But that continues on. The legacy is moving on in you men. Hallelujah. There's the purging fire of the Holy Spirit. And we've got national apostasy, but we don't have to worry about it. It's not just Jacob's family. It's not just a hopeless dead nation. But even every prodigal son that's out there in the pig pen is going to come home, because there's prayer want to be made for the whole house of Israel, for God's people, and he has brought us to a place in him. Amen. We're serving the limitless one. We're serving the God of impossibilities. Speak to the mountain. Prophesy even to the valleys that they'll come forth. And God says, I'm going to elevate the valleys. I'm going to bring every mountain down low. The egos of men, we're not looking for human personality. We're looking for the Spirit of the living God. Good to be with you. I'm just taking up. I know there's a spirit of prayer and a spirit of hope being birthed today, fellows. And God is going to, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And we've got to turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I know that's the truth. We're not living in the past. We're not living in the future. We're living in the almighty presence of the living God in the now. And hallelujah, we're continuing to pray, because there's a holy remembrance of the things that God's promised. And he doesn't synchronize his watch with ours. We've got to get our eternal timepiece out and believe that God's moving in a brand new way. I want to encourage you today. You just keep on keeping on. Keep stirring that fire within you. And I'm just blessed to be on. I'm going to get back on the road now, but it's good being with you. I just had to give you a call. I was stirred by the last Dragon Slayer that you sent out. Hallelujah. God's with us. He's with you. And let him stir you to new heights in him.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ron.
Amen.
Oh, you're welcome.
Amen. We
appreciate that.
Yes.
Yep, we need to pray fervently. 2 Chronicles 7:14, not only pray it, but live it.
Absolutely.
You know, Pastor, when you were speaking this, I turned my Bible to Romans, and in Romans 8, it talks about the sufferings of the present time and the anxious longing of creation. And in 22, yes, it says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And we've spoken of that many times, and we continue to see that, the pains of the childbirth, that are the suffering, the problems that our people have. The problems that the nation has, and it's just these childbirth pains bringing this forth. And it says, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And in 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And we do see that victory in Christ. We do see that he is calling his remnant out of Babylon.
Yes. I see three groans in that scripture. It says the Spirit groans. I mean, it's the Spirit of God is grieved by what is being taught in pagan pulpits and taught across this land. And the Bible says we groan within ourselves, because we're picking up that spirit, that intercession. There's a connection in God hallelujah, that causes us to just sigh within ourselves, just, oh, God. And I sense that because the Spirit of God is grieved, and we're grieved, and it says all creation is groaning. And there's a groaning, and I believe that groaning took place up off the New Jersey coast all the way up into New England. There's a groan. It's wanting to be delivered from this, the convulsions of a gross trespass against our God. And so God sends a wind, and he just blows down all the schemes of men. I'm thankful for this day. I wouldn't want to live in any other age, any other time period. We look back and say, oh, the good old days. But the scripture says, do not say, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, do not say that the former times were better than these, for you do not inquire wisely concerning this. This is the best day. God has positioned us to be here and to effect the change and to believe his word. And so I'm grateful for you fellows that continue seeking the mind of the Spirit, godly women that declare, hallelujah, that they're going to have good families, they're going to be nurturers, they're going to be assisting the work of ministry. And, we're in a non-losing combination of the Spirit of God, the truth, and his word working mightily within us. You know, that I'm reminded of that chorus. So what if kingdoms crumble down? So what if storm clouds roll? So what if this world be destroyed? He'll take care of my soul. I have no need to fear the night, the terror it may bring. For while I'm walking in the Word, I'm walking with the King. You're walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's got you in the hollow of his hand. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Pastor Poach, again, yes, thank you so much for taking time to give us a call this morning. Hope you have safe travels and Godspeed and in all that you're doing today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, fellas. And I'm going to join you from time to time on these Saturdays as I can. It's just been a joy to be with you this morning. I pulled off the side of the road, and now I'm going to get back on. Hallelujah. I'm refreshed, and you be blessed, and we care for the whole body of Christ. We care for the house of Israel and those lost sheep that are being found. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to go out and try to find a few myself.
All right. Amen. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, Pastor Poach was an old friend of Pastor Peters. They had quite a bit together. Well, good morning. Again, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. And if you want to give a call in, share your thoughts with us this morning. Well, John, good morning. Hadn't really had a chance to talk to you this week a whole lot. Glad you're feeling and doing better.
Oh, yeah. Praise God. Thank you for all the prayers out there.
Good, good. And Mr. Kyle?
Yes, sir.
Your turn. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got your Bible open, your big new big print King James Bible. Where'd you get that at? You know, and I say that, and I'm not making fun of Kyle.
I think I got it years ago because I just found it on my shelf, you know, and I don't know where I got it, but it had no markings in it, so I know I hadn't used it, you know, so now I'm making markings.
There you go. And we carry a giant print Bible, and it's a larger print than normal, and we have many people that order them. We reorder them several times a year to keep enough in, and we just find that it's something that is helpful to the people. We carry the New American Standard Bible, and Kyle is a King James, and that's a perfectly fine translation. Excellent. I know it's what we use in our homeschooling at home. And
it's one of those things that, you know, if you're just getting a Bible, your first time Bible getter, I wouldn't recommend the King James because it's a tough read if you don't know the lingo or whatever you want to call it. But when you grow up in it, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
And are you saying we're not as intellectual as you, Kyle?
Oh, man, that's the last thing I would say.
That's the way I read it, John. And I'm sitting here looking at him. So, yeah, I mean, he kind of brought us down a notch, didn't he?
We're going to talk about even the word intellectual. You know, I'm lucky I even understand what that word means.
So. I can't even pronounce it.
So. I've heard it before.
That's right. But anyway, yeah, Kyle's got a new Bible. And so go ahead, Kyle. I'll get it over to you.
I was looking through some scriptures while Mr. Poach was talking. Joel, in chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong."
Amen. And, I think I read that a couple weeks ago.
Yep, and it's a great, it's happening. I mean, the swords are gonna be in, you know, are gonna be back again, because we did, when we developed this land of America, I believe, and I know the pastor didn't know this, he didn't even think this had came to pass yet, but I believe that's when we beat our swords into plowshares and we developed this land and we became what God wanted us to be, what he wanted Adam to be, a tiller of the ground and take care of, you know. And there's going to be a time where we beat those plowshares back into swords. And I believe it's right around the corner. I mean, right around the corner. And I know people have been saying that for years. But, you know, I'll die believing that, or it'll happen. I mean, because that's how you stay ready. If you don't think there's a war coming, you ain't going to be ready for war. And I firmly believe that it's around the corner. And in Obadiah, verse 18, it says, "And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it." And that hope, you know, and I believe that's what Mr. Poach was talking about, that hope is, we're on top again. There's going to be a reversal in this land, on this earth, and those that are weak and foolish to the world are going to be the strong, and they're going to be on top, and we're going to be gathering them and bundling them for the day of destruction.
Amen.
The day of burning.
Amen. You know, that story of David and Goliath has come up in my thoughts more than once lately. And it comes up again, Kyle, just with what you're saying. You know, that little shepherd boy, when he stood before that giant, even when he came to his big brothers, you know, he was just bringing food and sustenance to his big brothers. He was the youngest of the family. But he was incensed.
Dad always said, he had three stones.
That's right, right. One in one pouch and two in the other pouch. And that's all.
Amen.
He took. And he certainly looked foolish.
Yeah.
He looked foolish to his brothers. What are you doing here? You just came up to, why aren't you home tending the sheep? You just came up to see the excitement, didn't you? You know, he looked foolish to them. And then, you know, when he goes before Saul, right? Saul the king.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He certainly had to look foolish to him. They try to put Saul's armor on him and it just doesn't fit because he's just a youth. Not a 12-year-old, but a youth, because he wasn't in war. I picture him about 18 or 19, just in my mind. But the armor didn't fit. You know, can you imagine what he looked like? You know, it looked like a boy with his dad's business suit on. You know, the sleeves are too long. It's hanging off of him. Looked pretty foolish. And then when he goes out there in front of Goliath, who's been cursing Israel and cursing our God, he had to look foolish to him.
Yeah, I was just reading that First Samuel here.
Yeah, and he even says that. What you send a, what's he call him, a dog, I think, you know. I don't know the exact, I don't have it, I'm not open to it in my Bible, but he's cursed by Goliath, and he certainly looked foolish to him.
Oh, absolutely.
But David stood on the word, and he said, "You come to me with what sword, and I come to you with the word of God, and it's this day that I'll feed your body to the birds." And he did it. And it might have looked foolish. A sling, a sling up against this, what was it? It talks about how the spear was like a weaver's beam. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a little broom handle type of spear. You know, it's the equivalent of like an M1 Abrams tank today. And yep. And his sword and everything that he had. And it was all for naught, because he had come against the living God. And the battle is the Lord's, folks. Remnant, remember that. The battle is the Lord's. But that's the battle cry as you're running and chasing the enemy, not as the enemy's chasing you. It's the battle is the Lord's as you're taking that righteous indignation to the enemy. Anyway, it just has come up several times in my thoughts lately, how much that applies today, that we may be called on to do that type of a battle with the giant.
Well, you were talking about Kyle's new sword this morning, so
yeah.
Amen. And you know, the word is fire. I mean, there's no getting around it. I was looking last night at all the places where it talks about the word of God being fire, and the tongue, the mouth, and the angels being messengers of God. I mean, there's a lot to this burning up that's going to come, and there's a literal fire. I do believe that. But the fire that is constantly talked about from stem to stern, or whatever you want to call it, is the word of God. And it's going to go through this land just like a brush fire. And I know Richard could testify to what a brush fire is like, but I mean, I've seen a few out in eastern Oregon that, I mean, that when they go fast. You know, at least the ones I've seen. I started a few of my own with fireworks, and they got so out of control that, you know, it's just thankful we didn't burn down our trailer houses. But anyway, when that word of God takes off, and the harvest is ready. I mean, I know Jesus said he wished that it was kindled 2,000 years ago. Man, it's got to be close to being kindled now, and it's ready for the reapers, the angels, the messengers of God to put his word out throughout the land, and it's going to burn them. It's going to burn the wicked up.
Pray like a wildfire.
Amen.
When Dad says, pray, brother, pray, sister, pray, grandma, grandpa, you know.
That's what we are to do. That is how we communicate. That is how we draw near to God, is when we, one, read his word, and two, when we go to him in prayer. And you know, we have different types of prayer. There's a time for us to be in that prayer closet, for it just to be kind of a one-on-one, right? You know, there's a time, like when we gather on Wednesday night prayer meetings, there's a time for us to come together in community prayer, in the civil body politic is prayer. You know, and when we gather, not only on Wednesday night prayer meetings, but when our city councils gather, and our county commissioners gather, and our state representatives gather, and our federal representatives gather, they've excluded God from all that. And they, I think, want to count themselves. They don't realize it, but they are counting themselves as that stubble, because they've let Esau come in among them. And we have let Esau come in among us, because, you know, many of those people are our people that are in those positions. But they're corrupting positions. And when you remove God from it, and you cannot, because of their own laws, statutes, and whatever you want to call it, that man has come up with, and they've excluded God from all that.
Then they protect the ungodly.
They do. Yeah. And they choose to side with Esau. And when you said Jacob is a flame, I think the other part of that scripture is, and Esau is as stubble.
Yeah.
And it's Esau, the ungodly. Those that deny that Jesus is the Christ. It is those that will be burned up.
Well, let's read 8, 9, and 10 of Obadiah. It says, shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end, that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter, And then in verse 10 it says, "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." And that's where the battle is. It's the history of God. The story goes back to Jacob and Esau, and I know the story goes back further than that to Abraham, you know, when God made a covenant with him, you know, and even before that with Noah and Adam. But the war story starts with Jacob and Esau.
It does. Well, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. If you'd like to join us, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Looks like a beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch. You have to remember, today, tonight, daylight savings time ends. So, if you remember the saying, spring forward in the spring, you turn your clocks forward. Well, this is not the spring, unless you're listening in Australia. I think it's springtime down there. But that's not what we're talking about. Here in the United States, it's fall. And in the fall, you fall back. Turn your clocks back an hour tonight when you go to bed. And tomorrow, the sun will come up an hour earlier, according to your clock. It'll still come up the same time it has always come up.
Most houses say, oh, we get an extra hour of sleep tonight. Right. My house usually says, oh, we get to stay up an extra hour.
There you go. That's what my children say. Oh, we can stay up and watch a movie or something, you know, stay up late.
So, depends on what age you are, I guess.
That's right. That's right. So remember to turn your clocks back an hour tonight. If you don't, then when you tune in for church tomorrow morning at our website, scriptures4america.org, it won't quite work for an hour. The live video stream comes on at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And that is Sunday mornings at scriptures4america.org. And we do invite you to church. We invite you to come to church with us.
I remember coming out one of the first times. It wasn't the first time, but maybe the second or third time. We came out to the church years ago, and we came out in April, I think, and it was around the time you set your clocks up. And, of course, we're making a trip. We're, right. You know, we're still newcomers. We're excited. You know, we're thinking about church the next day. And we didn't think nothing about daylight savings. So we come walking into Sunday school about 45 minutes after it's been going on, you know.
Instead of 15 minutes early.
Right. Instead of 15 minutes early.
How you thought it was
going to
be.
Yeah, you know. And we realized it as we pulled into the parking lot. But and, of course, the pastor, you know, his sense of humor says, it happens every year. There's always somebody that forgets about daylight saving. You know what I mean? Never forget that.
Yeah. Yep. That's funny. I think we've all done that. So it is.
Of course, you guys probably didn't know us hardly then. You probably were looking at us like, you idiots.
Well, I don't recall that. But anyway, well, let's go to the phone lines. And it is November 3rd. Beautiful morning out here. Good morning. Thanks for calling in with Coffee.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
This is Chris in North Carolina. I knew you were on the air. I'm driving, so I can't pick you up on shortwave or anything, but just wanted to call in and see how everyone's doing.
We're doing well, Chris. How'd you guys come through the storm? I know you guys got or were expecting a foot of rain on one side of the state and a foot of snow on the other.
Yep. North Carolina was in two states of emergency, west side for the snow and the east side for the storm. There were houses that were lost, a lot of beach damage and erosion. Just north of us, place we have up there where family live, they've got a foot to 2 foot of snow. They couldn't even get a quarter mile away from the house. It was so bad. Trees down. It was the wettest snow they said they've ever seen.
Wow.
But, you know, just the impression on my heart is that even before the storm hit was that God's judgment is accelerating. Time is accelerating. The Lord's just about at the end of his patience with his country. And the fact that we've got two people running for office that neither one of them represent the Lord Jesus Christ, except where it says in the Bible that many will say that I am the Christ, but they will deceive many.
Right.
So both of them come and say, yeah, he's Jesus, he's Lord, but neither one of them lived that example. You have the Mormons who receive their word from the Lord from a white salamander in Pennsylvania. And I was thinking about Obama, and the reason he didn't bomb Benghazi and keep those Muslims from attacking was because Muslims aren't supposed to kill Muslims.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I really think that's one reason he didn't go in, because they would have, all the Muslims that in his religion would have hated him then.
Yeah.
Good point, Chris.
Yeah.
Good point.
And this storm, it's like Pastor used to teach us about Revelation 18, where it lists gold at the top and people at the bottom as
right.
the merchandise of Babylon. They had planned to go on with that marathon because they were going to lose too much money if they didn't. It didn't matter that 3 miles from the marathon there was people still buried in houses.
They got their priorities straight.
Yep, they do.
Yep.
They do.
And I don't know whether y'all talked about last Sunday's sermon where Pastor spoke about greed and covetousness being idolatry. But that's what this election is about.
Yeah, that's what this whole nation is about today. Keeping up, not only keeping up with the Joneses, but doing a little bit better. And how much is enough, Kyle? How much is enough? Just a little bit more, right?
We knew that about Kyle.
Well, no, it's not that Kyle's that way. But we talked about that earlier this week, you know, that very thing.
Some things never change, Chris.
But it's always that way. Yeah, it is. It's greed. It's idolatry. You know, hooray for me and, you know, what with you?
Well, think about it. Everybody that's voting, half the population is voting to keep their government check or subsidies. The other half is voting to keep their job or to increase their business. It's all about the economy. I just heard a half a dozen people interviewed, and the person doing the interview said that everyone he spoke with, their main issue was the economy, not righteousness, not justice,
right.
not the Lord Jesus Christ. It was, what's it going to do for my pocketbook?
Right. What's it going to do for
not
me?
Not the sin in the country, not the sin in the land.
No. But that's, that's our job, is to let the people know that it's not about the economy.
Yeah, that because the preachers on the pulpits ain't going to tell them.
They're not telling them. They're not. Hey, Chris, thanks so much for the call. You have a safe trip today, brother.
You guys be blessed.
Thank you. Good to hear from Chris. Sure tell he was driving. A little static there on the cell phone, but
yeah.
I mean, if the preachers in this land would tell the people from the pulpits that they will be blessed, you know, if they keep God's laws, if they teach morality, if they, you know, tell them the difference between good and evil. I mean, if they would just do that, then the people might start voting for morality. They might. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's so deep into greed now, like Chris was saying, what Pastor taught on last week. It's so deep into the Babylon greed, and gold's at the top and human lives are at the bottom. But
well, it's not good for the offering plate, though, when you start telling people that they're wrong.
I guess. I mean, I have a hard time understanding that, you know, because, you know, that's what brought me to this ministry was Pastor Peter's teaching on morality and what sin was. I mean,
right.
The people that just taught God's love you, those were the ones I wasn't going to put in. I mean, it's like, I ain't going to go in that door. You know what
right.
I mean? So it's hard for me to understand, but obviously, you know, itching ears, you know, as it says in Timothy, you know, they heap to themselves teachers.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of these churches anymore, it's just a concert, basically.
It is. It's right. entertainment.
And it's, I don't know, I can't even call it godly music. I mean, a lot of it's like rock and rap, and it's like unbelievable.
It is. Or it's like, you know, I remember Pastor Peters talking about he visited a church one time. I don't know if it was up in the Northwest or where it was, but he was out, and they went, I think it was on a Sunday evening maybe, and went, or maybe a Sunday morning, and he said that it was just, you know, they had these moving backgrounds on the big projectors, you know, waves crashing on the shore. Oh, just the beautiful picture of the waves. And then they just had this music in the background. I wish I could put some music on and have it there to show you. And then they just, it was like this mantra, you know. Oh, love, love, Jesus, 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 he said for 20 minutes. Wow. And he said it was nauseating to him because he could see it for what it was. Right. And he said the people are there in a trance. Oh, oh. And that's just what it is. They have those itching ears. That's what they want to hear. Not all love, 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 love. And, you know, I liked what you read in Obadiah. Shall I not destroy? You know, to me, that ties right in with Jesus. And I think it's in Matthew that he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Oh, but wait, Jesus, no, you know us. We prayed in your name. Remember us for 20 minutes every Sunday, Jesus, Jesus. And didn't we pray for people? And didn't we do this? And didn't we go down and we built wells down in Mexico and rebuilt that orphanage? And we did it in your name, Jesus. And we put the little Christmas thing out that said baby Jesus out there. But we did all that. And he says, depart from me. Shall I not destroy? When that was written from God in Obadiah, are those not the words of Christ?
Oh, absolutely.
Shall I not destroy you who practice lawlessness, and that is sin? It is. It is all throughout the land. It goes right back to this Romans 8. The whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together. The storms, the fires that you've said. I remember the pastor preaching on those California fires that would roar, and each one was twice as big as the one before. And he would say it is a patient and loving God trying to get the attention of his people, because that's just a shadow of things to come. And we're that much closer to that fire ripping through this land.
We are.
Yeah, I was reading a story. It got me really mad yesterday. It was about some 45-year-old man who claims to be a woman who goes into the locker room at the local rec center or whatever, and there's been numerous accounts of girls as young as 6 years old being exposed to this pervert's male genitalia, and the city there is protecting the transvestite, you know, or whatever it is, transgendered thing. And I was just thinking, wouldn't it be nice just to castrate or maybe even go a little further and make that person who wants to be a woman a eunuch?
I think it'd be good to put a bullet in her head, John.
Yeah, that too.
Me personally. But,
yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Now, maybe we should have a disclaimer. You know, the views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of this broadcasting network. But I have family, and these perverts, you know, this supposed pastor, John D. White, goes and kills in Bloomfield Township, Michigan. You know, goes and kills his fiancée's daughter. Had some sexual thing, blah, 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 blah. You caught him. He's admitted to it. Take him out and string him up and let God's justice be done. That is, shall I not destroy? Why, we prevent. We talk about not holding back or not paying attention to the Spirit. You know, and these filthy homosexuals, they don't reproduce people. They recruit. They don't reproduce. Well, Kyle's got children. John's got children.
Understand. You're talking about, John, reaping what we sow. Yeah. You know, you let somebody, let's take Michael Jackson, for instance. The whole world knows that little boys slept in Michael Jackson's bed. And they still, the whole world holds him up at this pop king. You know, and you think, okay.
Almost the whole world.
Well, almost, you know, in general. Yeah. Kind of like the Bible speaks of
sure. The
whole world. But, and it's not just the colored people that do it, or the black people, or whatever you want to call them. It's the white people, too. You see it on the stands when you're walking through the grocery line. You know, there's pedophile, you know, that everybody knows what, you know. I don't care if the least thing he did was sleep with a little boy in his bed. To me, that's worthy of death.
To the Bible, that's worthy of death.
You know, so now, you know, I just assume the story you're reading about John was a white guy, you know. We are reaping as for what we have done. We allowed that crap for how many years? You know,
too long.
Right.
Yeah.
Too long. What I was saying was that here's the government, you know, so-called, well, man's government defending the predator, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Wranglers. Kenny from Maine. Besides, they're absolutely devoid of Christ in their knowledge. They look to socialism to solve their problems. One, the people support Romney still supports this bloody American-Israeli communist purge over in Afghanistan, Iraq. The other side supports welfare. Both sides are blind and oblivious to the corruption, sodomy, and the border side. And I pray there'll be no 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. This land is steeped and drenched in corruption, sodomy, and blood. The people have no idea.
That's the kindling, Timmy. That's the kindling that's going to take fire.
It's going to burn. And it will be, as the Bible talks about, when it's burned, when the silver is burned, it burns the dross off. Yeah. And that's what's coming. It is going to burn all that. Maybe it will be right before that 40th anniversary.
You know, what good is an economy if it's based on corruption? If it's not based on God's laws or an honesty or just rights and measures, it's no good.
Well, it's no good for me or you, but it's good for the parasites. It's good for the ungodly.
It's good for the parasites.
Yeah, it's good for those that can't sleep unless they cause mischief and problems and cause God's people to stumble. It's great for them.
It's great for Esau, Edom, because they're on top, you know, and it goes right along with what Timmy said here today, and he said it before, communism, the reds, the hammer and the sickle, that all represents Esau, Edom, and that's where the battle is.
It does.
Either way, warfare, it's all communism. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. I mean, God's going to avenge his blood. He has to.
Yes.
Both sides are absolutely callous and indifferent to it. Another thing, I don't want to see a 100th anniversary of the Federal Reserve. What usury go out the door? That's a major sin. That spawns millions of other sins.
Well, it's how they live. It's how Esau lives. They can't till the soil, and that's the only way they can
live. They can't produce. They're in effect, economic sodomites. Parasites,
man.
Pray that the ban on queer unions not be repealed. I'm going to vote no on one to keep that ban on there. I'm going to write in Jesus Christ for all offices.
Amen. We did get that out.
God bless you, brothers.
That prayer for that on the prayer chain, Tim. Thanks a lot. You have a great weekend.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Yeah, did you see in Taylor, Texas, the woman was wearing a T-shirt that said...
vote the Bible.
Yeah, vote the Bible.
Yeah.
And they made her cover it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could have said vote for queer or something and it would have been fine.
Yeah, they'd have been okay with that. They'd have been okay with that. Well, it is that groaning. You know, his people groan. There'll come a day his angels are going to go through and they're going to give his mark to his people that do that, that groan.
Yeah, there's going to be a threshing floor, you know, and they're going to be walking around and threshing, you know, and those that have God's mark on them, you know, which you can read about that in Deuteronomy, you know, they're going to be marked out for salvation, you know, but those that have the other mark, the, you know, world order, the beast, whatever you want to call it, you know, they're marked out for destruction.
Yeah, you know, the more you look at these stories and you see what's going on in the world, the more you just shut it off and open up your Bible.
Yeah, you have to.
That's what I did this morning, and I'm reading, you know, because today's the 3rd, I was reading, I read Psalms 3 and Proverbs 3, they're both awesome, but anyways, the part I have highlighted in my Bible is verses 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. He will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. There's a whole lot of lessons right there.
Oh, amen.
You.
Amen. But it is
five scriptures.
It's trust Trust and Obey. We need to do that song sometime at church. We haven't done that in years. But Trust and Obey. Talk about a summary. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Yeah, Coffee with the Wranglers. It is. Good morning.
Yeah, you had it right the first time.
There you go. I know. I had a spaced out there.
I was just listening to Chris and so thankful to hear him, his cheerful voice this morning. Go back to some of these deceptions that have happened. I was listening to, and I was wondering why in the world, when I was, made a few trips over to Israel, in 1966 war, I was just there. After that, we had contracted with Al to do summertime flying for them. I looked down at the room of the building that was supposed to have the Dead Sea Scrolls and wondered why in the world would Rockefeller be controlling the foundation, would control those scriptures, you know? And come to find out that it was he and J.P. Morgan that had gotten control of the Encyclopedia Britannica and sanitized it for any reference to the Edomites and the Wicked Seed. And so, therefore, the 11th edition was still the only true, the last of the true editions of the that great source of information. And that's why they're trying to grab all the books that have any history so we can't figure out where we were. But it's a really interesting thing how the folks that depended on their gold and silver and all that stuff up around the New York City area, I wonder how many dives they have to make to figure out where they are and where it is.
Amen.
Well, I don't mind having a little gold or silver, but I'll tell you what, I know where my treasure is. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to take care of me.
Amen.
Amen.
And you're sounding better, Cal. Praise God. Doctor's office, and she says, "Boy, look at this. This doesn't look good." And I said, "Don't worry, honey. I'm ready to go anytime. Satan can have my body, can play with it all he wants, because I won't be here." And I can count on that. The Word of God says so.
Amen.
Hey, fellas, keep up the good work. Sounds like you're having a great time out there.
Thanks, Cal.
Thanks, Cal. Have a blessed weekend. Thank you.
I will. Thank you.
All right, sir. Yeah. Sure been a blessing to meet Calvin. You know, I was thinking about it earlier when, John, you did. You wrote that article about in the previous newsletter, because Volume 8 newsletter has been mailed. It is out, and we'll have it posted up to the website and have it emailed out to everybody. But I think it just hit the post office. But in the previous one, 7, John, you know, you talk about our people participating in our get-togethers like this. And this is part of, really, it's part of not forsaking the assembly, you know, and having good fellowship and iron sharpening iron, steel sharpening steel, and getting together and being encouraged and all that. And it was mentioned earlier about, coming against the big boys. Well, you know, they may have their talk shows where, you know, all these different people call in. The people that call in here are friends of us and friends of Christ. You know, for the most part, the people that call in here, it's part of the family. And we're not trying to get these tons of people calling in. Geez, it'd overload the phone lines. But it is good to hear from the people that we hear from, and because this is not just the three or four of us. And we don't have Jason this morning. He was feeling a little under the weather this morning, so we do ask you to keep him in your prayers. He gets some good rest and recovery of whatever is kind of ailing him. But it is. I know I look forward to it, not so that other people talk, but just so that you have fellowship. It's good to hear from Chris. It's always good to hear from Calvin. You know, Calvin's a retired jet pilot. He flew Flying Tigers jets, cargo transport all over the world. For what, 20-30 years, and when we got to meet him in Branson and talk to him, you know, the stories, it's just awesome. And then
he was in his 60s when he was baptized,
right? And now to know that he's, even with all that, he's a baptized Christian in his latter days, in his older age,
or maybe his 70s, might have been his 70s.
It's encouraging. It's just encouraging to me. I hope it's that encouraging to you out there.
You know, and these big boys. who block out a T-shirt that says "Vote for the Bible" or whatever. You know, they are scared to death of the Bible.
They are.
And yeah, I remember Pastor Peters used to say to people when they'd meet him for the first time, he'd say, "You're disappointed, ain't you?" You know, because like he, you know, you thought that I would be bigger. You thought I would be, you know, I mean, but the thing of it is he was putting out the word of God, the, you know, the sword of the spirit, you know, I mean, so even though he might not be huge in stature, Calvin wasn't a huge guy, you know, and I know a guy in Montana who sounds like a huge guy on the phone says he's not a huge guy.
He shows pictures. He's
right.
He's not.
You know, so, but actually, the weak will be, when they say I'm strong, I mean, they're going to be so strong that, you know, because they're going to have the word of God coming out of them. And
that's
the
right.
Big boys are going to fall down and say,
amen.
Yep.
David and Goliath, yep.
Yep.
Well, see, they know, back to Psalms 91, they know, Psalms 91:7, 1,000 may fall at your side,
10,000.
And 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. Now, the way I see that, and I think it's the way the enemy sees it, is they cannot come against us at the odds of 11,000 of them to one of us when we have God.
Well, and there's another thing here. They fear for their life.
Yeah.
You know, we don't.
No.
You know? Because what? You know, like Pastor used to say, what, you're going to threaten me with eternal life? You know?
Right. And that is what always, that is one of the things, even as far back as Rome, that turned the world upside down. You know, you read through, we carry a Bible called The Drama of the Lost Disciples, and it talks about the disciples moving into England and the European nations and writing the word there, you know, writing the New Testament. They lived it. Then they went down and wrote it. And there were places that Rome, who ruled the world, but there were places that Roman soldiers could not go because there were Christian soldiers protecting it.
Right.
And that's that war coming back. Guys, we're out of time. Sure, thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Remnant, for tuning in this Saturday morning for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Again, we invite you to church. They say real men, we say, real men don't go to church, but real men can come to church with us. ScripturesForAmerica.org on the internet tomorrow morning. After you set your clocks back tonight, fall back, come to church with us. 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central and noon on the East Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. Guys, thanks again. And
thank you.
See you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay calm. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.